I'm used to my wife making sure that I'm all right to go within public, but now poor Ben has to help me with the sound to make sure I'm all right too. Would you just bow your head? Father, we thank you. We sense your presence. We understand, Lord God, that you're trying to do something amazing in our lives. Lord God, may we be obedient. May we be sensitive to what you want to say to us and what you want to do in our lives. We'll give you honor. We'll give you praise. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's a very familiar verse. And like I said, tonight, hoping that you'll be able to join us as a time of prayer. I think prayer and unity and seeking the face of God is what it's going to take for some of these things in our lives to be dealt with God. And I understand that we're all busy. To ask one more thing of us is a lot to ask, but I know that God wants to do some things in our lives. So if you're able, I would invite you to be a part of that tonight. This morning, I want to talk to you about fighting giants in our lives. And, you know, nobody has to determine and say to you, what's a giant, what's going on in your life. Some of you have sensed that, and some of you have gone through it for a long time. And one of the questions I want to ask you is, are they new and occasionally there, or are they the same old ones that you're fighting and have been fighting for a long time? And are they ones that you've been waiting for victory? And what are you doing with that? And what are you trying to do? What are you asking God to do? And 1 Samuel 17, like I said, is a very familiar verse. It's a story that starts in Sunday school and has been played out and preached to death. And I want you to look at it this morning, not only in the story context of what happened to David, but can you look at it not only as an event that happened to someone else, but can you apply the lesson to your life today? Amen? Can you take a look at that and see what's going on, and can you apply some of the lessons? And we'll say a couple things this morning about that, but it's really about this. And without taking the time to read the whole 17th chapter, the 17th chapter, it's about David fighting the Goliath, the soldier of the Philistines. It's about someone bigger than you and bigger than me and bigger than your situation, and you really have no matchup. You really have no chance of winning outside of God intervening. And really, when you look at that story, it's not about David and Goliath in the one battle, because you see that it's a nation fighting another nation. It's God preparing long before that initial battle was taking place. David wasn't just a soldier, you know, hoping to defeat this enemy, but he was a trained, encouraged, and godly man that wanted and used the small events in his lives to allow him to get victory in the big situation. Amen. God uses us. God brings us through some things we don't understand, and why he takes us through these things. And we find out years later that he's used certain things in our lives to, one, help someone else, one, give us and prepare us for some of the things that we go on later in our life. We see that David was anointed by God early in his life to fulfill a purpose that was later in his life. And one day, how many know that our circumstances and our problems happen one day? One day you get up, and one day you find that there's a giant, a new giant. There's a new problem in town that you have to deal with. And you know, one day David got up. One day David was told by his father to go to his brothers, take some food, see how the battle's going, and to report back. And in that one day, he found out that he was going to be, up until that point for sure, the biggest battle that he was ever in. And no one really is prepared for it, in the sense that most circumstances catch us by surprise. Amen. You don't plan for it. You just best deal with it. You use what you have. No one here was willing to get involved, and David decides that he's going to get involved. People give him all these reasons. Now get this. You ever been there? They give David all these reasons why he can't do it, why he's not the right one. And this is rubbing. Something's happening here. I don't know. I just heard it in myself. Sounds like I'm scratching at you guys. Apologize for that. But you know, here he is. They're giving him reasons why he can't. They're standing on the sidelines. Anybody ever been there? They're giving you all the reasons why you can't do something, but they're not getting involved. They give all the reasons you can't do it. And then on the other side, in the same breath, and as they're still coming at you, they give you all the reasons they can't. Amen? It's like this vicious circumstance and this vicious circle that goes on. He's trying to prove to them that he is the right person for the job. He is the one that has a shot at defeating this giant. And in verse 32, he says, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine, this giant. Your servant will go and fight him." And then back up a little bit in verse 26, David asked the men standing near him, he says, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" And you got to catch here what the answer is, because I believe it could be life-changing for some of us. They said to him, "The king will pour him out a blessing." How many are waiting for the king to pour you out a blessing? How many are waiting for God to do something amazing, wanting God to do something amazing, wanting God to do something greater than what we can do on our head? In our own selves. So David is suddenly in this fight of his life with the giant of his life. And to prepare himself, he fills this bag with some shiny stones. Anybody besides me think that sometimes if you're going up against the giant, you probably need more than a slingshot and a few stones? But God works in mysterious ways. The Philistine, you have to understand this again. You're looking, when you read 17, you're really looking at David's view, the Philistine's view, the Israel's disobedience and not wanting to step out. But the Philistine looks at David and despises him. Why? Because he dared to stand up. Because he dared to come at this Philistine with the philosophy that God is bigger than him. And the Philistine responds to David by saying, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Can you imagine how a child of God would feel when the enemy comes at you and says, "What you got isn't powerful enough. In fact, you're coming at me like a little kid. Why are you bringing sticks and stones? And you know, why do you treat me like a dog? Like you're going to just hit me over the back with a stick, and I'm going to suddenly obey and do all these things?" And then he says he curses David's gods, and I believe David got upset about that. I believe he got upset about that. I believe he took it too hard. And Goliath cursed David by his gods, but King Saul had blessed him and said, "The Lord be with you." And David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you had defiled." He said, I'm sick of hearing what you got to say. I'm not treating you like a dog. I'm standing up to you because I'm a child of the king. I'm the child of God doing a purpose that God has given me. And who do you think you are to stand there and defile my God? And David strikes down this Philistine and he cuts his head off. Scripture says David ran over and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine sword and drew it from the sheath. And after he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. Now, that's a great story, but it's a grotesque story. But after the man killed the giant, he cut his head off. And I think there's some lessons here. And if you're writing them down, here's the first one. Give your giant a name. You hear me this morning? Give your giant a name. Identify him or identify the circumstance. You know, Israel faced a 9-foot giant named Goliath. They knew who the enemy was. They knew who the giant was. They knew what the name of the enemy was. And they called it by who it was. And I'm asking you this morning, identify your giant. Give him a name, whether it's fear, call it out, anger, addiction, sickness, loneliness, pride, poverty, divorce, lust, a certain person's name. Whatever it is, give it identity, call it by name, and then here's the thing. You will know who you're fighting, and then take that over and turn it to the Lord. Do you say amen to that? Give it a name, identify it, call it out to the Lord, and then turn it over to him. I turn fear over to you. I turn this addiction over to you. I turn this loneliness over to you. Whatever it is, whatever you name it, give it over to God this morning. Fear keeps us from identifying the giant, because when we do, we have to do something with it. Amen? If you identify it, you have to do something with it. Even if you do nothing, you still have to do something. The Goliaths in our lives operate by putting us into fear mode instead of battle mode. Amen? Think about it. Think about it here. Goliath put fear in a whole nation by just shooting his mouth off. I didn't say it. God said it. Goliath put fear in their hearts and never had the... It never had to prove himself. He existed in his ability to frighten us and frighten the Israelites into submission without showing who he really was. David, on the other hand, was sure of himself because he had slain lions and bears before. He had faith and who he put his trust in. He had faith and who had been there for him before. He had decided that he was going to put faith in God rather than just operating on his own strengths. And here's some other thoughts tied together to this. As you give this giant a name, there's some other reasons that you give it a name, and this is some of them. Sometimes you must take the fight to your giant. Somebody say amen there. Sometimes passiveness is not what the Lord wants. You have to take your fight to your giant. What the devil has stolen, you have to go back and get. Can you say amen to that? The devil has taken something from you. You have to go back and get it. You have to realize that as a child of God, that you have the resources and the power of all of heaven to go back and get what the devil has stolen. But the victory comes after you take that step and take the fight to the giant and know who you are and you know who the strength that you're getting it from. The second thing is that you have to stand firm and steady. Sometimes in defense, sometimes in offense. We have to put our enemy or our giants on defense and go after them with the power of God working in our lives. I think it was last year or a few years ago, we had this verse that we just hung on. When we've done all things that we know to do, stand firm. Stand firm. You didn't forget it already, did you? When we've done all that we know to do, what? Stand firm. Allow God to do what he needs to do. And as believers, once we give that giant a name, don't run from the battle. Don't run from the battle. We don't go looking for battles, but we don't need to be running from them as child of God. We got to stand firm in the midst of a battle. Don't be afraid. Fear paralyzes us. Why does a lion roar? To put the fear and paralyze its prey and then goes after it. And God's saying, don't be afraid. Don't allow the enemy to paralyze you. Don't let fear keeping you from accomplishing what God intends in our lives. If God is for us, who can be against us? Can you imagine the victories that believers would have if we would just understand who we serve and who is for us, then who can be against us? Whom shall you fear if you're operating in the blessings and anointing and power of God? And the other thing is, don't worry about what other people think. And I apologize that this is scratching up here. Don't worry about what other people think more than what God thinks. Amen? Don't worry about how you're going to look to somebody. Can you imagine David coming up to the king and said, I can take care of this. Here his great army is not willing to take care of it. And he said, I can take care of this. Don't worry about what other people think. Do what God's calling you to do. Care enough to be seeking and asking God to give you what you need to fight your enemies. Share a personal illustration with you. When I was a kid and growing up in Milwaukee, and like I said, I just shared some of the stories of some of the things going on, and I've never been a bully. I'll just say that right up front. I've never been a bully, but I had a thing against bullies. I've always had a thing against bullies, and I've always defended the underdog, and it's not because I was a tough guy, but it was that I always thought it was wrong for someone to harm someone else just because they could. Amen? You understand where I'm going with that? I'm not a tough guy and not one that would go after, but it's that I just thought it was wrong that someone would go after someone or hurt someone or tease someone just because they could. And then, you know, I'm naming them. So there was two as I was growing up, Clarence Buck Gilbert and Eugene Burrell. Those names stick in my mind, and I'm talking 6th, 7th, 8th grade. Those two guys, let's just call them a thorn, but at the time I thought they were worse than that. I thought these guys were like 20 years old in grade school. Clarence Gilbert had a mustache and is the only guy I never know, and I'm talking 6th and 7th grade, the only guy I know that had a mustache, must have failed 7th, 8th grade 4 or 5 times. He's the only one I ever knew that got a speeding ticket on a 10-speed in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Clarence Buck Gilbert was just mean. He was the one that would just torment, just bother someone just for the sake of tormenting. He would take a lunch. He would take money. He would just punch somebody for no reason. And I've had enough. And if my brother or my mom was here, they would go amen, because it's just something that has always been. And like I said, the way that I took care of it is not the point, and we're not going to talk about that. But let me just say, I've had enough. And there was a point where I had to stand up. And it bothered me so much. One had bothered me tremendously, and one had bothered my friend John, which you met, that we go back all the way to like 12 or 13 years old. And he was here a while back. And I've had enough. I had to take a stand. And like I said, without telling you details, at some point, you will have to take a stand and take a risk. Amen? You will have to take a risk, because that you take a risk of being hurt, but the risk is better than allowing these things to go on, these things to keep hammering you, at the risk of being hurt, but also with the victory that the giant stops. Amen? That you got to go after these things. They had a name. I knew these boys. They had a name, and I called them out, and it would take the standing firm and taking the position and not allowing it to go any farther. And I realized this morning that some of us are facing giants outside of our home. I realized that some are facing some giants inside our home. And I realized that some are facing giants within us. But the principles still stand the same. If your giant is in the past, you got to stop them from keeping you from going moving in the front, in the future. Amen. You have to cut that head off, so to speak, allowing God to destroy it completely. If it's a person, you may have to break away. If sometimes you forgive, but you don't allow yourself to get back into this certain situation. Sometimes God has to start fresh, and God allows the old to become new because he's in it. And if it needs to be dealt with, let's not bury it in the closet, but let's expose it so that the power of God can bring you healing. Amen. The second thing is this: giant fighters that are going to do God's work are groomed and not appointed. Verses 34 to 36. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This circumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God." Now let me just let that marinate for a second. This young guy, where others were scared and not willing to do anything, David is assuring this king that he's the right man because he's no stranger to fighting for what's right. He had fought the lions and he fought the bears, and it sounds like a Wizard of Oz thing, lions and bears and tigers. Uh-huh. You could just go into singing it, but he says, "I will hit this giant right between the eyes. How can I be sure?" And he goes back to scripture: "The battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into my hands." It seems like the Lord is looking for some giant slayers in today, in the communities, in our churches, in our families. A giant slayer that's going to say, "You know what, God, I trust you to do the things that you need to do." 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 11. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong." Amen. Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Should bring encouragement this morning. Number three is this: giant fighters use the past to enhance the future, not to destroy it. Because he stood up, because he knew what God had done in the past, because he knew that God's power was going to give him the ability to give him victory, this Philistine was no match for God. He was bigger than David, but he wasn't bigger than his God. Genesis 50, "You intended to harm me." This is Joseph speaking to his brothers. "You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Like Josh said, God has your back. You may be going through a thing, but that thing doesn't have to have you. It doesn't have to determine who you are in Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Let me just close with one more here. Giant fighters use fear to conquer obstacles in their life. David did these things that others wouldn't do. David had things in his life that he wished he wouldn't have done. And we see through Scripture that he did these things and asked God for forgiveness, but he was still used. The difference is when we realize who we are in Christ and what it means to have Christ working in our lives. Was he afraid? Yes. And you want to stand up to a giant? You better be afraid. But afraid that you're not doing his will, afraid that you have the right motive. But to stand up to something like that is to allow God to not paralyze you, not give you the fear of failure, but the fear of not being doing the right things. And today the world has so many giants. You say amen to that? Every day we see it on the news. Every day we see it in lives of people shooting each other over sneakers or turf or whatever they're fighting over. And one of my favorite movies is Facing the Giants, and they called it The Death Crawl. That is my favorite part in the movie. And if you haven't seen the movie, it's where the football coach grabs one of his linemen and throws one of the running backs on the back of his back and turns him upside down and really is telling him that he's going to make him crawl with this guy on his back 30 yards and ends up that he goes all the way to the other end zone 100 yards. And the whole time when he's about to give up and the coach is yelling, "Don't give up on me. Don't quit. There's more in you. There's more to do." And I believe that's God sometimes in the circumstances we're on. We think that weight is so overpowering, so much to bring us to our knees, and God's saying, "Don't quit on me. Don't give up on what's right." And when the young man fell in the end zone, he was blindfolded. He had no idea how far he had went. He just looked and realized that there was more in him than what he could imagine. And he found out and saw that it was God being an encourager. You know, in this case, it's a coach, but God wants to be our encourager and to help us finish strong and finish what we're supposed to be doing. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be tired. I want to be wired. How about that? I want to be wired for God. I want to be energized. I want to do what God wants to see happening in our lives. And you know, I have this sign, and I've kidded about it, you know, in my office that says, "All I need is a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus." If I was going to make a sign that would fit today's sermon, it would be, "All I need today is a little bit of courage and a whole lot of the Holy Spirit to give me help." Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you this morning. And we look at this verse, and we look at this, and we all could teach that lesson. We've all heard it. But Lord God, what do you want to do with our lives? What do you want to accomplish? How do we bring down some of these giants in our lives and in the church and in our community? God, we need to do something amazing. Some of these giants have kept us from accomplishing a task that you want. Some of these giants, Lord God, has actually stopped us from living our lives, whether it be car breakdowns or physical hurts or money issues. Lord God, may we identify them. May we bring them to you. May we seek your face for answers. Lord God, may we have this strength when you give us directions to do what you've called us to do, realizing that in our strength we're limited, but in you there is no limits. Who can be against us if you're for us? What giant is more powerful than Almighty God? May we see victories here, Lord God, in our lives and in our families and in our churches. In Jesus' name, amen.